Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's read together. It says, for we are his workmanship. That word workmanship is new creation. If you have not done that yet. His workmanship. We are his workmanship. We are his new creation. Created in Christ Jesus. That is our subject. We are created in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. We are created in Christ Jesus. All right. Now, we are his new creation. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Which God has before ordained that we should walk or live in them. All right. Now, I want to be able to show you something because I mentioned this morning. Always remember that when you go to a church and they say, we are teaching you to be saved. We want you in this church to get saved. You hear some people say, I'm still saved. They believe you got saved by doing something. Or by keeping something. That's not today's salvation. Salvation means you were saved at the cross. Okay? When did God save you? At the cross. People are not being saved after the cross. Now let's go to show you that Titus chapter 3. I gave you two other scriptures this morning. I'll give you another. There's plenty of scriptures in here in the Bible that tell you about saved. So you got people teaching you shall be saved, going to be saved, will be saved. That's not saved. All right. The word saved means delivered from harm also and danger. But people think saved is talking about their soul. Saved only deal with the soul, and soul only was dealt with in the old covenant. That's why, and when you go back instead of Noah. The Bible said 8 souls were saved. They don't talk about spirit salvation. See, that's why in the new covenant you have spirit salvation. In the old covenant you have soul salvation. See, that's something that's some good stuff there. So if you take note in your Bible, you can always put in all the way from Genesis to the cross, it was soul salvation. Nobody had the Spirit living in them in the old covenant. Nobody. There was no spirit salvation until the cross. You have Christ living in you, in your spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, God said, pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You are spirit, you have a soul, and in a body. Well, Christ lives in your spirit. Just think about it. The same man, that's why when I prayed for my mother this morning, Brother Kirkendall, that's one of the things I said to her. The same Christ that walked the roads, at that time his name was Jesus. But he walked the roads of Galilee and Jerusalem and all of those places in the Middle East. And guess what? That same Christ lived in us. But he's not in flesh. Now all power has been given to him. And he lives in us. See, that's what we got to understand. And we have the same Holy Spirit that was on him at that time is in us. The Holy Ghost is in the Christ that's in you. Same Holy Ghost. And I'm going to show you that this same Christ that's in you created all things. And he lives in us. See, we got to understand that the Holy Spirit has come to teach us about the Christ that's in us. He's not teaching you all this other stuff you hear people talking about. He's only going to talk about the Christ that's in you. Okay? And his job is to teach him to you. Now, we're in Titus. Titus chapter number 3, verse 4. Let's go down to verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Let's just read 4, 5, 6, 7. All right? Now, I want to show you this because the Holy Ghost in you is your eternal life. That's why you got to make sure you're not just you in Christ, but Christ is in you. Today we're talking about we are created in Christ Jesus. Now, I gave you this morning something to go by. Get this morning tape. All right, let's read verse 4. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he did what? You got to get that. You already saved. That means every person you come in contact with, regardless of how bad they are, they already been saved. Because Christ died for all men. Now, this is the thing. And they have already been created in Christ. That means God has already made them the righteousness of God. But they don't know it. It's just like people in the body of Christ right now that go to church every Sunday. Don't know. They are believers. They are believers now. They have believed the gospel of Christ. Now Christ has taken up residence in them. They don't even know they have the Holy Spirit. So if somebody come and give a line saying, y'all want the Holy Ghost, come. You know they're going to come to the line to get the Holy Ghost. Because they don't know when God gave you Christ, he gave you everything. Write that down. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And we're going to look at Romans 8, 32 and Ephesians 1 and 3. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's why some churches teach you that. You want to receive the Holy Ghost. Just receive it. Just receive it. See, that's, you already got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came in Christ. I'm going to show you them two verses, okay? I gave you two verses, right? Ephesians 1 and 3 and Romans 8, 32. All right? Now, here we go. Watch this. Not by works of righteousness. We are reading Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, past tense, by the washing. Now, we taught this already. We got this in our storehouse, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, he already gave that. He already gave you the Holy Ghost back. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us. No man did this. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He did that on the cross. That being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of what? Eternal life. That's why he put the word hope of eternal life is the Holy Ghost that you got in you. That's who the Holy Ghost is, your eternal life. So you got to understand that. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. Holy Ghost is also glory. So because you have Christ, you have the hope of, because God put the Holy Ghost in Christ. Now let's go look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. You enjoying the word already? Man, I tell you, I am so grateful for the wisdom that God has given your pastor, the knowledge and the understanding. Hey, it's all for you, so you ought to be clapping. Everything I am is for you, and I am what I am by the grace of God. All right. Now, how many know what that means? I am what I am by the grace of God. You need to understand what that means. I am what I am by the grace of God. Who's the grace of God? There you go. I am what I am because the grace of God is in me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am because Christ is in me. He's the grace of God. So all the different things that you're able to know who you are in Christ is because of the Christ in you. See, one of them, I am a child of the living God by the grace of God. I am what I am. Paul said, I am an apostle by the grace of God. You, whatever you are, you give him the praise and the glory. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Are you there? When the screen come up, we got it. Romans 8, 32, there we are. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also do what? Freely give us all things. So when God gave us his son, guess what he gave us? He gave us all things. Come on, clap your hands. Never, never think you don't have the Holy Spirit again. Remember, you shall know the truth, and the truth make you free. People have to receive the Holy Spirit. He's already in you. People have to receive that salvation. Christ is your salvation. Salvation is not something you do. Salvation is a person. You receive salvation. Once Christ come in you, you have your salvation. That's why the Bible said work out. You have to work it out because he's already in you. All right. Now, let's do Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. See, once you learn this word, man, and get this word, that's what helps. That's what's going to do it. It's knowing the truth. And the Holy Ghost is in us so we can know the truth. That's why he's here. And then I'm going to go back. I got some things I want to go. Ephesians 1 and 3, we're going to do that. Then we're going to go get into some things here. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Ephesians 1 and 3.
Let's read it.
Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In the Holy Ghost of spiritual blessings? Well, he's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ. He has given us everything we need. It is all in Christ. Somebody give the Lord another hand. Come on, say, I already have the Holy Spirit. Christ and the Holy Ghost. Say, Christ and the Holy Ghost is not the same person. All right, let me show you that before I go any further. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Holy Ghost is taught by John, chapter 14, 15, 16. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, 15, 16. Help me, Lord, to get to these verses I need. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And let's go to verse number 23. John 14, 23. We're going to take that all the way down to verse 26. Let's read. John 14, 23. Read. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Can't you see the two different persons? I ask you a question. Do you see the Father and the Son, two different persons? All right. That's what you're looking at here. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. Can't you see the Father and the Son is different? So is the Holy Ghost. See, most people think the Christ and the Holy Ghost are the same person. No. The Holy Ghost is his own person. There's a trinity of the Godhead. All right, three persons, one God. All right, now let's read verse number 24. Read. He that loveth me keepeth not my saying, and the word which you hear is not man, but the Father which sent me. These things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, said, that's the Holy Ghost now. See, now he said the Father and the Son. Now he said, and now the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. So the Holy Ghost was not there yet. See, that's what he was saying. The Holy Ghost is not here. Me and the Father is here, but the Comforter is not here. When I get back, then the Father will send, because when he go back, he's going back to be the Father. Now he says, the Father will send in my name. He shall do what? What the Holy Ghost do when he come in your life. Always understand, he does nothing else. The Holy Ghost is the knowledge in you. He's the knowing. He's the one that makes sure you have the knowledge in you. His job is to teach you so you don't be ignorant. The Holy Ghost teaches your soul. Said the Holy Ghost is a teacher of my soul. All right. He shall teach you how much? All things. How much is that? All things. From Genesis to Revelation. All right, he shall teach you from Genesis and Revelation. And not only that, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. That's what you got to do. You got to have that relationship. You got to fall in love with Jesus. That's his job. Is he's supposed to teach you so much about Jesus until you fall in love with him. The more you know about Christ, the more you're going to love him. All right, he says he will bring all, just clap your hands, okay with me. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you. So Jesus says, I preached to you 3.5 years. Don't worry about it. When the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to remind you everything I said. That's what you got to understand. All right. Now let's go to John 15. See, all these things that you got in your Bible, you need to hold on to it. John chapter 15. Now, I'm going to go down in this teaching, go down to verse 25 and 26, just two verses. There's some other thing, but I'm not going to be able to do them now. Verse 25 and 26, I'll pick them up in John 16. The Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 26, only one verse, I'm sorry. 26, read. But when the Comforter, how many know that? The word Comforter means the teacher, the helper. And also it means the one that walks beside you. Now you got to understand these names. The Holy Ghost does what? Walks beside you. Wherever you go, he's always walking beside you. He is your comforter. He is your helper. He is your enabler. He is called the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, and he also is with you. You got to understand it. Let's read. But when the Comforter has come, read. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. How many know he's the Spirit of truth? That means that if anybody try to tell you anything different than he says, he won't receive it. You'd be like, I don't know, something wrong with that. I can't receive it. It's not you. The Holy Ghost in you won't receive it. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. He shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now let's go to John chapter 16. I'm going to go down a little further than John 16 because I want to show you something in verse 23. Let's go to John chapter 14. I'm sorry, 16. I want to do a couple here. I really want to get to John 17. Let's go to John 17. I'm not going to deal with 16. All that's good, but let's go to John in verse 21. John 17, 21. All these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, is all about the Holy Ghost. But God was to make you one. So you want to write that down? 1 Corinthians 6, 17. You'll hear me always say that verse about the Holy Ghost. Because that's what God did in your life. He made you one. We are one with Christ. We are one with the Holy Spirit. We are one with the Father. Now we are, because we're in Christ. All right, John chapter 17 and verse 21. Are you there? Let's read it. That they all may be one. That's what Jesus prayed. That they all may be one as thy Father. Watch this. Art in me and I in thee. That's why you got to understand that you are in the Father and the Father in you. You are in the Son. Your Son is in you. You're in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. You can't separate. Let me put it another way. You can't separate ice from water. All right. That they all may be one as the Father is in me and I in thee. That they all may be one in us. You see that? We are one in him. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory. Remember that I said the glory is the Holy Ghost? Which thou hast given me. The glory that Jesus said, the glory you gave me, which is who is the Holy Ghost. I have given them. Past tense. Why did he give you the Holy Ghost? That you may be one. See, we are one because of the Holy Spirit. We all have the same Spirit. All right? That's who made us one. And they may be one even as we are one. How could the Father and Son be one? The Holy Spirit. How can we all in here be one? One body. One body. Because of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, let's go to read verse number 23. One more. We do one more. John 17, 23. Read it. I in them and thou in me. Can you see that? I in them. Say Christ is in me. And I'm in Christ. That they may be made one, may be made what? Perfect. Because you have the Holy Spirit, now guess what? You've been made what? Perfect. Right. You've been made perfect already. So don't try to improve. You're already perfect. You are perfected in Christ. All right. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. All right. So you got to understand, we already are perfect. All right. You can go all the way down to verse 26, but I don't have the time. All those four chapters is about. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 17. We have to understand that God has already made us one in Christ. That's why in Christ, we are not natural no more. Our identity is Christ. Say Christ. Is my new identity. Say, Adam is my old identity. All right, I got to understand something. When God came, when God saved me, he already did that now. You can't get saved in the new covenant. You're already saved. All these people are teaching you how to be saved. They were man-made religion. They are man-made though religion. All of them talk about being saved. Every one of them, I don't care what name you name the church, it goes back to a man who's the beginner, founder of it. That's not the way it is with the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ goes all the way back to the Bible, start off with the Apostle Paul, given to us by the Holy Ghost. See, people need to know that. I wish I'd known this in the beginning of my ministry 45 years. I would have been way down the road. But I thought these people was right over here because they got the big crowd. I thought these people over here were right because it seemed like they were sanctified. Then I had these over here, I just knew they were sanctified because when I said God, and then somebody else said something, they had all of this stuff, man. you know, and then you have somebody stand up and they say something that God said. You know what I mean? I'm going, shoot, man, these people full of God up in here. I realize they ain't nothing but man religion. Only somebody the Holy Ghost going to talk to you about is Christ in you. Okay? He's not going to talk about all this stuff. You got people who tell you you believe in the prophetic, and they get up in the church and want to tell you everything goes on in the world. Who should marry who? That ain't no God. The Holy Ghost only going to tell you about the man Christ in you. If you can remember that. The Christ in you is the power. All the power is Christ. So don't ever think you're going to receive more power. You got more than you need right now. The man who created heaven and earth lives right in you. Just think about that. That's some power, isn't it? The man who uphold the whole world lives right inside of you. You got some power. All right. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be going around trying to get power. Like the Bible says, you shall receive power. Well, you got it. That's who Christ is. He's the power of God. All right. So always understand that. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Let's read it together. But he that joined, we're going to wait on the screen. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Read. But he that is joined to the Lord. Say, I'm joined to the Lord. That makes us what? One spirit. That's what we got to understand. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians while we're there and look at chapter 12. Because when you're joined to the Lord, you're made one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. All right? But you're not just one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 12. You also one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. All right? Let's read together. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that body is what? One body. Being many are one body. So also is Christ. So we are one body. Say, we are. One body. I just showed you 1 Corinthians 6, 17. We are one spirit. Come on, say, we are one spirit, and we are one body. All right? Now, let's keep on reading verse 13. He's going to show you how you got in Christ, because I'm getting ready to teach you on baptism. Baptism is how you got into the body of Christ. So when you got churches trying to show you that they're going to baptize you in the body of Christ to get you saved, souls are always on that side before the cross. All souls were saved at the cross. So when somebody tell you, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's talking about your soul. When you hear somebody tell you about baptizing Jesus' name, he's talking about getting your soul saved. All these religious traditions trying to do what? Get your soul saved. That happened over here in the old covenant. All souls were saved at the cross. Jesus died for all souls. Jesus saved all souls. There are no souls being saved in the new covenant. It's spirits. God putting his spirit in you in the new covenant. So what happens? God takes a soul vessel that Christ already saved, and he wants to put new wine in the new wineskin. Remember that? That's what he's doing in the new covenant. He wants to put the spirit in you. Well, that's why the gospel has to be preached. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So that's why the gospel has been preached. If you talk to me about being saved, I hear people used to tell me, do you believe in once saved, always saved? That's all they talk about, being saved. Do you believe? How many know what I'm trying to say? Everything is about being saved. They come to church, miss one service. I'm still saved. I wasn't here last 2 weeks, but I'm still saved. Well, I hope so. Because Christ died for all men on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. Verse 21 says, he was made to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what happened at the cross. He took all our sins. If I get a chance, I'm going to teach on he drank the cup. All our sins, all our grief, all our sorrow, all our death, everything was put on Christ. And it came inside of his soul. That's why Isaiah 53 verse 10 and 11 said he bare our sins in his own soul, in his own body. All our grief and sorrow, death and everything came into his soul. And he took it to the cross. And the only reason he was able to take it to the cross, he had the Holy Ghost. The Son and the Holy Ghost worked together for our salvation. So if Jesus, the natural man, fall down, the Holy Ghost would pick him right back up and took him to the cross. He had to hang on the cross because he had to be executed. He was treated by Pilate and the Romans as a criminal. That's why in the Bible, if you study the word Romans wrote, that's why all souls were crucified in Rome. So have you ever heard about the Romans Road? That's why a man in the Baptist church made out a flyer called the Roman Road. And everything on there going to lead you back to Romans 10, 9, and 10. You're going to start off in Romans chapter 3. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Gift of God is eternal life. All the way up until you get to Romans 10, until you got to confess your sin. That's the Roman Road. It ain't the real road. Don't get on that road. All right, that's not how to be saved. Remember, if you can only remember that you can't be saved in New Covenant. God not dealing with souls in New Covenant. From Genesis with Noah, 8 souls were saved. All the way to the cross, Christ died for all souls. All souls are mine, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. He died for all souls. In the New Covenant, we in Ephesians, we're not there yet, am I? I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I got to go. Well, let's do verse 13, and I'm going to go Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:10, we are created in Christ Jesus. All men. Just got to get that, boy. You got to see how awesome God is. All men were created in Christ. Well, let me put it another way. When God created Adam in his image after his likeness, he created all men in Adam. Every man that's born of a woman came through Adam. You can see that now, can't you? Why? They have satanic nature until they got to the cross. All men that came into this world all the way to the cross had a satanic nature. That's why all men Christ died for all men to take the old nature of Satan out. Now you can receive Christ into your heart. Now, if you was in the old covenant, you would have heard this verse. Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You're in the old covenant. Anytime you talk about soul salvation, that's old covenant. I can't say it enough. In the new covenant, it's about having the Christ in your heart. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's what God does. He put Christ in your heart. All right. Now, if you're a believer, you got Christ in your heart. You just don't know it because you're waiting on a feeling. Holy Ghost is not a feeling. He did not come inside of you for you to feel something. See, that's what people think. Well, you must ain't got the Holy Ghost because they got all kind of goose stuff. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost come inside of you to teach you some spiritual sense. Now, you might understand that the Spirit of God can move on you. And you could discern that. But the thing about it, he didn't come on you to feel nothing. I'm up here ministering all the time. He touches the Holy, I'm going to say the Lord or angels. I don't really know how to say this. When I am being touched all the time when I'm up here. Hand laid on my head. I mean, I feel him pushing me sometimes. I mean, all kind of stuff. I had him to walk in my bedroom. And I was sitting on the side of my bed. And the Spirit of God came over me, turned my head, pushed away, went down my side, stood over me, came down inside of me like a rushing mighty wind. I'm still learning about the God. I'm just so glad to know that he lives in me. There's a whole lot of experiences you're going to have about Christ. But you got to know that he lives here in your heart. And the reason why he lived there, because he put the satanic nature out of you. That's why he had to go to the cross. There was nowhere in the world he can get it done. One man died for all. Then we're all dead. So he had to get that satanic nature out of our heart, so because that was his throne. See, your mind is a computer. It's where God works through your mind. But his seat is in the heart. So when I get to a place, I'm going to show you, when the devil says, when God said, you have been in Eden in the garden of God. And people think the garden of God is something else. When you go back to Eden, I'm going to show it to you. If I can get you there, I had you almost there the first service. Praise the Lord. All right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are one body, so also is Christ. See, God does not look at us on the outward appearance anymore. That's why in this church, I said this in this church, and I lost a whole row of people. They don't understand what I'm saying. We do not celebrate Negro History Week in this church. Now people here, they're going like, are you going to tell me you ain't a Negro? Listen, man, I'm from Mississippi, plantation, cotton field, come on. But in the church, I glorify one man. One man. Because in the church, in Christ, Galatians 3:27, in Christ, we'll go to that. Just put them down. I'm not going to say it. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is how you got in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So you go to people's church and they say, we got to baptize you in water in Jesus' name. Why? To get you in Christ. They just destroyed your life if you believe that lie. Verse number 12. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. How are you put in the body of Christ? Everybody. By one spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's a capital S. By the Holy Ghost, he puts you in the body of Christ. Whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one spirit. See, we've been made one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But how do we get there? God put us in the body of Christ. See, this is not a man thing. God put us in the body of Christ. You've been saved. I gave you that Titus 3:15. Wasn't it 3:15? You've been saved by Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3 and verse 5. Put that on the screen again. Titus 3:5. See, you already been saved. I got to get this over to you because God knows I just heard people all their life trying to get saved. You're not trying to get saved. You have come past that, okay? You got to start changing your mind. You are saved. You got to make sure you are saved. Your soul is saved. Now you got to get the Holy Spirit in you, okay? We're going to show you how to do that. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Read it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he did what? Mark that in your Bible. He saved us already. He did it by the washing of regeneration. That means he born again every person. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He born again every person. You are a new creation. We know no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You are a new creation. Adam made you who we are today. That is your old nature. So you got to understand that. That's Galatians 2:15. Write them things down. We'll go to it. All right. So not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, because we lost the Holy Ghost through Adam in the garden. All right. Now let's go to some of this stuff I got first before I open up anything. You got notes. You know what I'm asking for, right? You took my note. Huh? Ephesians 2:10. Where are you from, brother? I always, this young man meet with me at 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And so I have to, where you say you're from? Grenada. Okay.
See, sometimes he thinks I'm Grenada. So like my sister, Sister Kennedy, poor Sister Kennedy, she talked to me in Jamaica talk a few minutes ago. I got my Jamaica crew over there today from Brother Blake. He just got back from Jamaica. If I can keep him out of Jamaica, I'll be all right. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. One verse. This is your subject. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Say, you are created. Say, I am created. Say, we are created in Christ Jesus. See, we are new creation. See, God ain't saving folk no more. He already saved us. That's how we got to be a new creation. Now you got to get the Spirit in you. And that's preaching of the gospel. All right, now let me go to the next, what I got next. What's the next I got? You got my notes? You got to say it plainly now. Galatians chapter what, 2:16? Let's do 2:16 while we're there, and then go to 3:27. Let's go to Galatians 2:16 first. While we're there, we might as well get any other Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Huh? Yeah, we're going to go there next. We go to Galatians 3:27-28. All right. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. I'm going to let y'all in some big time stuff here if I can get to it. Galatians chapter 3. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. All right, we're talking about the old nature here. Now, this was Apostle Paul talking to Peter, James, and John. Let's read what it says. In verse 15, I'm sorry, back up one verse. Galatians 2:15. I'm sorry. Because I want you to hear something. Let's read that. We who are Jews, how? By nature. All right. So when a man is talking about he's African American, what is that? I need y'all to see, do y'all know? Well, let's use the Jews. Maybe you can hold on to the Jews. They were Jews by what? Okay, so if I talk about your outside identity, that is your what? Nature. That came from Adam. Do you understand? The old Adam was your old nature. That's what Christ replaced. So when you talking about the old man, remember, that's not you no more. That's why I gave you, I'm crucified with Christ. We taught that already. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Put your notes. We'll go there after this. But let's read that. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. That's who we used to be. We used to be sinners of the Gentiles, and they used to be Jews by nature. But then it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember, he's saying again, the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ. See, that's what you get when you get the people over here trying to get your soul saved. They're trying to use your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in God. In the new covenant, it's not your faith no more. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's his faith. All right, now, let's see what else you got. Don't you take a note, man? Galatians 3:27. All right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 8. Because he told you how you got into Christ. Galatians 3:27-28. Are you there? All right, let's read it. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ. Have been. Not going to be. Have been. Well, when did this happen? I gave you 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And I told you that the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. That's why I'm doing this, to see, are you following me? Because if you don't get this, somebody going to come up to you and tell you, I hear the Spirit saying, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name yet? And there you go. See, you got to understand something. The Holy Ghost is going to do one thing, and that's glorify me. So you got to know the Holy Ghost when you hear somebody talk about this as the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does one thing, I keep telling you, what is it? He's going to talk about the Christ in you. Can't you write that down? He's not going to talk about nobody else.
He's not going to even talk about himself. He should not even speak of himself. He only going to talk about the Christ in you. If you can just get that, you will know when somebody's speaking to you of the Spirit. I don't care if it's me. If I come here and say, oh, I hear the Lord telling me you're going to marry you, you're going to be a pastor. You're supposed to be telling me about Christ. Do you understand? Holy Ghost only going to talk about one man. He'll take a mind, show it to you. That's it. All right, so understand, we're learning about this in here. All right, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, right? That's where I am. All right, let's read it. For as many of you have been past tense baptized into Christ. When were you baptized in Christ? At the cross. Remember, all Christ's work was at the cross. He's not doing no work now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and Jesus is, and Christ is in you. Maybe that's what I need to say. Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, but Christ is in you. Y'all understand that? Okay. So we're talking about Christ. The New Testament talks about Christ. Old Testament is about Jesus. When I say Old Testament, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is also the Old Covenant. I gave you 14 books. I'm going to keep saying them until you get it. Paul ministered to the Jews in 7 books. Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Hebrews, and also Romans. He ministered to the Gentiles, 7 books. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. All right, that's how you're going to know. So when you read books and it talks about the rapture, it wasn't to you. It's in Thessalonians. You catch on. If you ever learn the book, when Paul, you go to the beginning of the book, it'll say the Church of God. Not talking to you. All right. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2. I just told you how you know who you are. So you're no more Negro. All right. That's why I keep saying that. I'm saying that because you got people. They are trying to tell you that the Bible is telling us about who we really are, and you ain't getting that back. So you can trace yourself back to Africa. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. You are no more Africa. No more. You are no more African. Let's go to Galatians 2:20 while we're there. You can love me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. See, the Bible says you should know the truth. I just showed you right here. I didn't do verse 28. Galatians 3. Go back to Galatians 3, 27, 28. Then we're going to go to Galatians 2, 20. Slow down, brother. Galatians chapter 2, verse 27. Read. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Who are you now? Christ. You are no more. You are no more the other folk. Do you understand? You have a new identity. You switched places with Christ. Now, you want to go back to being Earl again? Do you understand what you did? You gave up your life. You took his life. It's not you that live anymore. It's here that live in you. Remember, you died. You were crucified with Christ. Remember that? You died on the cross with Christ. You was a criminal. You was a heathen. All that. And Christ switched places with you. He took your death, your sickness, your disease, your pain, your grief, your sorrow, your debt, everything you had. And he gave you his liberty, his freedom, his spirit, his temple, everything eternal, everything. Switched places with you. Gave you sonship, inheritance. Now you want to go back and be the old criminal again? That's not you no more. You got to renew your mind. You're a new creation. If we get around February, we want to go back and be colored. And then we go back and sing it. We don't sing, you overcome. We're going to go back to, we shall overcome. See, you can't go back there. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's what you got to do. We're going to bury that. We're going to bury it. We ain't had no funeral yet. We have not had the funeral yet. All right. Now, here in Galatians, we got to read verse number 28. Read. Galatians 3:28, right?
Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. We just read 27. 28, read it. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. There is neither black nor white. There is not Latino. It can go on and on, right? Because you left your old identity. Once you came in Christ, you left Adam. We were all of that Adam. That's what separated us. I said that is what separated us. That's why you have this mess going on in this country right now, because of people's identity. It ain't like that in Christ. And it's sure not like that at Door of Faith Christian Church. No, not here. We got one Father of us all. There neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. See, he got rid of all of that stuff. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. All right, where we go now? Galatians 2:20. See, you have to keep going over this stuff because people don't, you forget who you are. That's not who, you are not that no more, not in the body of Christ. See, you got people, I guess my wife, Facebook, and I look every now and then, and it has on there, women preachers, why women can't preach. That's just stupid. But they, you know what they're looking at? The outward appearance. What do God look at? Totally different, ain't it? You know what I mean? See, that kind of stuff is just ignorant. That's why churches have two pulpits in it. See, y'all don't watch nothing. Y'all don't go nowhere. I'm going to start taking y'all some places. Whenever I can find somewhere I can take you. We used to go a lot of places. My wife would know. We were assistant pastor. We used to be assistant pastor of a church. We went to probably every church in Detroit, pretty much. They got two pulpits. So if the woman can't come over there, the woman can't come here. Ma'am, they stop her right now. But see, that's the kind of thing, you know, that grieves my spirit. Because it's not that no more. You're rejecting the Christ that's in her. All right. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Y'all love me? Yeah. All right. I'm not going nowhere, so y'all might as well love me. All right. Galatians 2:20. Watch what Paul says. Read it. I am crucified with Christ. I gave you the man that God gave Paul the revelation of. I believe it was the thief at the cross. He was a criminal. Remember the one on the right hand said, Lord, remember me? When you come into your kingdom, we're going to show you where he went to. All right. Look at verse number 20 again. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Read with me now. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. See, yet not I, see. See, it's not you no more. It's Christ, that Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the flesh. Come on. I try to get you to do it. I'm going to do it. Come on. The life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God. Remember, not faith in, because faith in is my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So this, he loved me here. That's his love. I want you to put in your note, the cross is the demonstration of God's love. So you never have to worry about, Lord, do you love me? Said the cross is a demonstration. Really, it is the demonstration of God's love. That's why I preached the cross. That's why God demonstrated his love to us. That's why he showed us how much we love us. He exchanged. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. He exchanged places with us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is an awesome thing for a man to change places with you. Here you are. You're supposed to die, a criminal, and he died in your place. You're a criminal. You're supposed to... Hell is what we should have received, and he gave us heaven. Everything changed. We were broke, busted, and disgusted. He gave us riches. And the Bible said he became poor that we might become rich. Everything that God has is yours. I can't say it enough. Everything that the Son has is yours. See, that's why we do. But if you really believe that, and everything that we have, you can't get it all in here, because everything is his. See, if you could just put your mind around everything that you see belong to him. Yeah, I know. Patty cake, patty cake. But if I put $1 million right up here now, you can see, you said that's mine. Yeah, that's it. Everything here is yours. But it's not just the money. It's everything. All right. Now, let's read 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Watch what it says. I want everybody to read it. For he has made him to be sin what? For us. Say, he exchanged places. Right. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Say, God made us the righteousness of God in Christ. We switched places. Say, we switched places. Right. He took our sin, death, grief, hell, and we took his seat in heaven. That's why we are seated together, because he rose in sitting with us. But he gave us his place. Let's look at Luke 1 verse. The Gospel of St. Luke chapter 13. This is what we showed the church this morning. And last two verses said, Lord, remember me, is what we want. Luke chapter number 13. And we want to look at Luke 23. What am I doing back there? I'm sorry. That's not to y'all. That's just to me. All right. Luke chapter number 23 and verse 42 and 43. Just two verses. Are you there? On the screen. Verse 42. Luke. Let's read it. And he said, this is the thief on the cross who's a criminal, who received his salvation. All he did was receive it. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now he's talking about, you got to understand, the kingdom is Christ. So you got to understand something. Jesus had not come into being Christ yet. Okay? He had not come into being the Son of God. Acts 2:36, God made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, he had not come into that yet. That's why they were saying, who can sit on your right hand and the left hand in your kingdom? Because they knew he was a king, the people who was around him. So they knew he was talking about a kingdom. So here they says, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. Now this was a type of us and all the sinners back in the world. In verse 43, read it. And Jesus said, verily I say to you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now I want you to get this, because you got people think in the church, people are supposed to progressively become sons. So they got, they come in, they bathe, they got to grow, no. Listen, that may be for as mature to us, but you are a son today. The moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you've already saved. Once Christ come in here, he come in your heart because you are a believer. He cannot come in your heart if you are an unbeliever. You have to believe. Once you believe Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and sits on the throne of your heart. Now, I'm going to show you something that happened at the cross. At the cross, Christ cast out Satan out of the heart. That's what happened at the cross. That's why he said, I can't go to it now, my time is up. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men into me. And that's why all men is in Christ now. He put all of us in Christ. That's what he spoke of what death he should die. That John chapter 12, I read that this morning. Get this morning tape. Then I showed you the other half of that same teaching, that is not just he was lifted up, but the disciples said to him, Lord, I saw, Lord, there was a serpent, Luke chapter 10. I'm not going back to that. I gave you this morning. The devil that suffered to us through your name. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Well, what did he fall from? Here in Luke chapter number 23 and verse 10, verily thou shalt be with me today in paradise. I gave you the definition of paradise, and I'm going to have to do this one of these days. But paradise is the Garden of Eden. Paradise is heaven. Paradise is the Garden of God, but it's also our new nature, our new heart. Christ is himself is called heaven. That's why God put heaven in you. I know a lot of us want to go, but heaven came to us. We're supposed to have heaven on earth. It doesn't stop you from leaving here to go to be with Jesus. But you need to enjoy Christ while you're here. Christ came here. See, he used to go to a temple in Jerusalem. And that was a type of heaven. But now he put heaven in every man so he can live on earth in every man. Why do you think that happened to Israel, to the Jews, when he first was born? There was no room. That's what they told him. We don't have no room. You got to go out there and be born in a stable with the horses. There was no room in the inn. He did not come here to live in a stable. He came here to live in us. That's why he created Adam, so he can live in Adam. So when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? Why was he following Adam? Why was he looking for Adam? Because that's where he's supposed to be spending the night. But Adam had moved. And he said, Adam, where art thou? But I feared you. Where you at, Adam? That's what God did for us. He lives in our hearts. He want to make sure that every day he gets your praise, he gets your worship, he gets your thanksgiving. Every day of your life, because God, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, has taken up residence in man. Somebody ought to shout the victory in this place. One verse, Acts 17. One verse. We're going to stand up when you find it. The book of Acts, one verse, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. It says, for in God we live. That's verse 28. Put it on the screen. Acts 17, 28. See, you are back in God now. When they left the garden, they left God. Christ came to bring you back to the Father. That's, you read John chapter 14. He came to bring you back to the Father. We are back to the Father now. We are in the Father. We are back in God. That means we're saved. It's like a balloon, larger than all of the planets. And you are in that balloon. Anybody outside that balloon ain't saved yet. Not that they're not saved. They don't have the Spirit. They have not received their salvation. Once you receive your salvation, you come inside the balloon. You can't die no more. Once you come inside the balloon. See, once you get eternal life in you, your soul will never be separated from God again. See, so that's what salvation is. Make sure you got the Christ in you. That's Ephesians 3, 6. We'll do that the next time. Acts 17, verse 28, one verse. Come to your camp. Are you there? Let's read it with me. For in him, he's talking about in him. In him we live. We live. Who is the him there?
Christ.
Right. Say that. Say it with me. In Christ, we live and move and have our existence. Right. That word our being, our existence. Everything now is in Christ. We're just doing the in Christ side. We're going to do the other side because we headed to Easter. When we get to Easter, we're going to show you that Christ is in you. People still running to the grave like Mary and Martha and people trying to find Jesus. Jesus not over there. Jesus in you. Christ is in you. Christ lives in us now. He's not us no more. That's why I'm taking this every step of the time. All right? So Acts 17:28, in him we live, move, and have our being. All right? That's all I need. We are his offspring. You are the new creation. Amen? All right. Give the Lord a great big hand. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 told us how to be saved. Don't ever want to forget that. Verse number 15. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received, and where you stand, by which also you are saved. Not going to be saved. You are saved if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you believe in me. You're not trying to get saved no more. Once Christ died on the cross, you are saved. You might not ever receive your salvation. That's your fault. Because if you go to a church, they don't preach Christ, you'll never receive it. They're going to baptize you, wash you off. They'll do everything. They'll have you in a ring. They'll have hands. Get you in a big ring. You fall out of the floor. You'll still never receive your salvation. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Can't you see? He said, I received. I also received. You got to receive. Paul said, I received. What do you receive, Paul? How Christ died for my sins according to the scripture. He was buried and God raised him again the third day according to the scripture. You have to receive that. Say, I receive. Christ's death. Christ's burial. Christ's resurrection. I receive the Christ that lives in me. I receive the Father that lives in me. I receive the Holy Spirit that lives in Christ, that lives in me. I receive the inheritance. I receive my inheritance. I receive my salvation. I receive my forgiveness. I receive my peace. And you can go on and on and on because all of it is yours. Somebody get the Lord a great big hand clap. And the door of faith. The door of faith is open unto you.